Consider not himself, lest thou also be tempted. And in that verse in Galatians chapter 6, it is someone who's been taken, fallen into a mistake themselves, been overtaken by a mistake, a fault. As we said this morning, a fault line is a weak part in the earth's surface that can easily be shaken when an earthquake takes place. And we all got weaknesses in our lives, faults in our lives. Bible talks about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when you to call on the elders and confessing your faults one to another, and that prayer is with a little bit of confession of faults, not sins, but faults. And there is a difference there with faults and sins. And I probably need to put this mic on for Richie gets me. Amen. You're welcome, brother. I felt the heat on my neck. Amen. It's the difference in being overtaken in a fault or undertaken in mischief. When we said it like this, overtaken in a mistake or undertaken mischief. And sometimes it's not a fault thing or something we just fell into. It's something that we just dove into intentionally. And we undertook mischief in our own lives. We used the example of the prodigal son. He just undertook mischief. He didn't fall into some kind of mistake or a fault that he had. He had wanted to please himself for a while. And ultimately he got up the guts to tell his father that he wanted what was rightfully his so he can leave and go fulfill his fleshly desires. He undertook mischief. He straight out had an intention, a design, said that's where I'm heading, that's where I'm going. And when you get your face set like a flint in that direction and get stiff-necked and hard-hearted and hard-headed, amen, you go, I'm going to go that way no matter what. And it's kind of a gradual step that takes place in your life. That spirit of selfishness begins to overtake you. You've been dabbling in a little bit of things that's wrong and mischievous, and that spirit begins to get in you, and you get bold enough to speak up and say, I'm gone. I'm going my way and I don't care what nobody has to say. It's a very selfish thing to do, but you undertake a mischief in your life. You're asking for a lot of trouble. Amen. And you're opposing yourself. And whether it be a fault or somebody making a mistake or somebody undertaking a mischief, it's still the same principle as we have to have some meekness on how to handle it. And both of the situations would be handled in a different way. Where you'd be a little bit more compassionate, someone falling, a little bit more stern for somebody that just bluntly went out in that direction. We use the example of the Lord dealing with lost people in the gospel accounts. The publicans and sinners knew they were sinners and guilty, and God kind of was just sympathetic to them. But it was the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes that were real religious that he was blunt and forceful with. They needed a little bit more stern talking. The same way we're raising children, they're not all the same. One of them needs a little bit more sternness. One you can talk to a little bit softer because they just made up different. And sin's made up different. And faults and failures and things that you do. And so there's a different way in how to handle it. We need some meekness. We need wisdom. You know, we're not robots and people are not robots. You don't go through it like step, step, step. It'd be easy if there is some basic outlines and structures how you do things. But you need God's touch on your life. Amen. Solomon, when he prayed and asked the Lord, he said, man, I might know how to come in and out of the people. Amen. I need that kind of wisdom. How do I deal with things that I face every day? But it is our job to instruct those that oppose themselves. And in a lot of cases, they don't even realize that they are fighting against themselves. They don't realize that they are their worst enemy. They think everybody else is. And when a kid gets like that, they think mom and daddy's the enemy. So, and then their mind gets warped and they don't think straight. And that demonic, or should I say the right word, Bible word, devil spirit gets in them. And it starts to overtake them and get in their flesh. And they've allowed it through different avenues to infiltrate them and overtake them. And they get that, and you can tell it when they get like that. There's some telltale signs when somebody gets a devil in them. Amen. You can notice it. He says, verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, and this is the desire, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. If there's going to be God's mercy and genuine repentance, there must be an acknowledging of the truth of the individual that is opposing themselves. They must come to the grips of the facts of what the Word of God says about their sin. The example, when you got saved, Amen. You were opposing yourself for how many ever years, living for yourself. But when God granted you repentance, and God convicted your life and showed you the error of your way, and the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what you realize? You acknowledge the truth that I am a sinner. That He is the Savior, and He is the only way that I can be saved. And God granted that repentance, and you acknowledge that truth, and God saved your soul. Same way with confession of sins. You got to come to the realization of the acknowledgement of the truth. I have erred. I have transgressed God. I have sinned against a holy God. And I need His mercy. So there's the job of the one that's instructing them. It is the responsibility of the one that is sinned to acknowledge that they might accept God's extended hand of mercy on their account. We said it like this, I wrote it down like this, the three things that are there, we need meekness to instruct, that is our responsibility. We need God's mercy to intervene, and boy, that's where prayer comes in, and sometimes fasting, that God might do something. And thirdly, you need the acknowledgement of the individual. The individual must acknowledge that, hey, God is right and I'm wrong. And what people are trying to tell me is for my good and not for my hurt. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. How do they recover themselves? It's like, you know, somebody said, well, mama saved me. Daddy, mama didn't save you and daddy didn't save you. Amen. If you got saved, you acknowledged it. Amen. And you received the Lord and God saved you. Amen. And that's that principle there in verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. The devil has ensnared them. He has trapped them. And his ultimate goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. He just goes up and up and more extreme the more he gets his claws on you. And the devil's out to destroy you. And we see a lot of people like that. They've been destroyed. They're defeated, like we said this morning. They're depressed. Amen. They're down and out, downtrodden. Amen. They're just in a bad way. You can see it in their countenance. You can see it in their face. And we need more of God's children to get sympathetic towards those individuals and find the wisdom of God and the meekness of God and try to instruct them in the ways of righteousness that they might repent of their sin and recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Amen. That's what we're talking about. Recovering those that oppose themselves. And we talked about the biblical example in 1 Corinthians 5, how that brother took his father's wife and committed that very, very, very evil and sin that he committed. And the church had to put him out and they turned him over to Satan for destruction of the flesh. And the goal was in meekness to instruct him. And sometimes we think meekness is something soft. I mean, this account, they brought him before the church and said, hey, man, you got to go. We can't tolerate this. He's hell-bent and living that way and having his father's wife. And the church said, hey, we can't tolerate that kind of thing. And so they turned him over to Satan. How do you turn him over to Satan? By prayer, you say, God, you got to do what you got to do. And if you got to open up the gate of the devil to get a hold of that guy to get him on his back, that he might look up to heaven and repent and get right. That was the meekness of instruction. I'm sure there was principles and ways that they handled it and how they tried to go forward to it till ultimately got to that point where they had to bring him before all. Amen. That's what we'll look at tonight about this confession, about getting right with God. There is principles in the Bible how you do that. And I believe we miss a lot of these biblical principles when it comes to confession and getting right with God. We kind of sweep it under the rug and we try to act like it's never happened, it's gone away, and you never get right with God and you end up the same mess over and over again. There's some genuine repentance towards God and coming clean. Confession of sin. Amen. Look in Matthew chapter number 18. So how do you get right? If you've erred, if you've been taken a snare of the devil, you've become his prey, you've messed up your life, you marred the testimony of God. Talking to Christians that have erred and went astray. And you brought a reproach on the name of Christ. You brought a reproach on Christianity. But a reproach upon your home and a reproach upon your church. Things like that happen, amen. How do you get right about it? How do you fix the thing? Amen. Look in Matthew chapter 18. Look in verse number 15. There's some principles here. How you deal with the transgression in your life. And how do we deal with people that have transgressed? Verse 15, moreover, you see that? If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. In this first example, in verse number 15, the brother has trespassed. He has sinned. He has done wrong. It's between you and him. One-on-one, individual, private, nobody else knows about it. Amen. It's just between the two. And it's a type and a principle of somebody sinning in their private, doing wrong before the Lord. Hey, who are you supposed to get right with? You and the Lord. You've done something, nobody knows about it, but there's a God in heaven that knows. Has weighed out all your life. He sees everything that goes on in your life. And God convicts you of that wrongdoing and troubles you about that sin. You say, how do I get it right? You go to God one-on-one and say, God, I have trespassed against thee. The principle is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you have done wrong to God, you have sinned against the Holy God, and every sin's against God. Transgression against the Lord. But nobody knows about it. It's between you and God. You've done something you ought not to do. God's convicted you and troubled you about it. Well, how do I get it right? You go to God. You ain't got to tell nobody about it. You ain't got to let your wife know, your husband know, the church know. You just go and say, God, I've sinned before heaven and in thy sight, and I'm guilty for this transgression. Forgive me of my sin, and God will forgive me. That's how you deal with private sin. Verse number 16. But if he will not hear thee, this is the principle. Then take thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be what? Established. It's not only a private sin, now it's personal. It's not between you and God, it's between you and others. It's got personal with other people. You know how you deal with personal sin? You go to the person. You begin to get other individuals involved. You get it right with every party that's been involved in the issue. Every party, you know, people like this. We ain't gonna bring it up. We ain't gonna deal with it. Hey, I had somebody tell me not too long ago. Well, you're the kind of person that if you say something somebody said, you want to get all the parties together and get it right. Yeah, that's the way you do it. Whoever's involved, bring it to the floor and get it right. You settle the issue, amen. Hey, stop the backbiting and tailbearing and just slitting of gossip. Hey, bring them all to the floor. If you've been involved, you've had it. Deal with it. Amen. What's wrong with that, amen? That's Bible way of dealing with that. We just let everybody gossip over here, run a little mouth over here, run a mouth over there. With whoever you like and whoever you think's right, that's who you're going to side with. Well, no, it doesn't matter about truth. Don't matter who's right or who's wrong. It matters about how you feel and how they feel. Then you get divisions. Then you get what's called schisms in the body. When sins has got pressure, you get it right. You get all the parties that are involved, bring them together and deal with the issue. Hold your place in Matthew and look in Luke chapter 17. So there's private sin and there's personal sin. People are involved. Hold your place there in Matthew. Luke 17 verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that the offenses will come. Luke 17:1. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him.
Yeah, amen.
He done wrong? Get it right, man. What's wrong with going to somebody first and saying, hey, I got a problem with you? It'll solve a lot of junk.
Amen.
You know what we do? Instead of going to the person we got a problem with, we go to somebody we like and tell that person we like we got a problem with somebody.
Amen.
Ain't no Bible in any of that mess. That's a talebearer. That's a gossiper.
Amen.
That's a divider. Amen. That ain't of God at all. You know who we talk to? People we like. Or we maybe think that they'll feel the same way we feel. And then here you get right. If you've done it between you and God, get it right between you and God. But if you involve other parties, individuals, personally, get those persons together and get it right.
Yeah,
go to them. Say, hey man, there's something not right here.
Amen.
If you're wrong, repent. If they're wrong, repent.
Amen.
He says, if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. It was about the seventh time, probably about the third time, we about full up with it. They were willing to repent, let them repent. Does it make it right? So how do you deal with it? Back in Matthew chapter 8. So there's a private sin. Transgression. Between you and God. Then there's personal. When it gets to other parties involved. You bring the parties together and fix the issue. But then sometimes the sin is not just private. And it's not just personal between others. It is public. It's spread. Everybody knows. And this is where it gets a little technical. And this is where people really want to cut ties with you. When it goes public and they have transgressed and brought a reproach on God, and they brought a reproach on the church, dealing with issues in the church, and you're trying to have a testimony of cleanliness and holiness and doing right, and we all sin to come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
But when you get out there, you're living in blood sin and making a mockery of Christianity, and glorifying sin and praising sin and sprinkling glitter all over sin, and people have seen it, then it needs to be dealt with in public.
Amen.
And when you deal with public sin, people think you're the enemy.
Amen.
And as a church, you have to bring some things to the floor sometimes and deal with it publicly, because especially in this public age we're dealing in, where everybody wants to put their face on the internet and glorify sin. And brag about sin. How do you brag about sin? You've been taken a snare of the devil. You've been made captive by him at his will. And we're trying in meekness to instruct you. And you think meekness is just, you know, okay, everybody understands. And yeah, you... No, it ain't. It is not right when you make it... When you begin to brag about your sinful condition. And you get public about it, the way we got to get public about it. And then when the church gets public about it, you go down the road and go somewhere else to church. Just the way people are. Because God forbid anybody's going to call my sin out. I'll take my basketball and go down the road and play somewhere else. That's what people do. But the Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the what? So it went from private to personal to now public. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be under thee as a heathen man and a what? Publican. It's brought forward. This cannot be tolerated. This cannot be allowed. We tried to get together in private. We brought persons involved to get it right. Now this thing has gone public, and now we must deal with it public. Because we have innocent eyes and innocent ears looking at this type of garbage that cannot be tolerated, that is contrary to the Word of God. It had got public in the church of Corinth that this man had taken his father's wife. And man, everybody glorifying it. Now, he rebuked the crowd in the church that was puffed up and then mourned over the situation. And we need to rebuke him when we want mourning and have compassion and concern to try to get the situation right, that they might be taken away from us. You ought to have some compassion. But compassion on them is not tolerating their sin. I'll rebuke them for being puffed up and not mourning over them, but at the same time, he rebuked the individual and turned them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He let both parties know both were wrong.
Amen.
And what we like to do is blame somebody else when they're wrong, when we're wrong too. If this guy was ever going to get right, he's going to have to lose his attitude against everybody in the church that had turned him over to Satan, that shunned him, that had no company with him, no, not even to eat with him. The Bible teaches those kind of principles, and to rebuke them sharply that others might fear. They got to face the fact that I've done wrong. And I said it this morning, I still believe it to be so. If someone genuinely repents of their sins, and I've seen this happen in church, and I've seen it happen in individuals, that people say they get right with God and expect you to roll over like a dog and roll out the carpet and let them come up and get right back where they came from and act like nothing ever happened. You know what I know about somebody that's genuinely repented? They're not prideful. They're just thankful that they still can be a part of something. Like the prodigal, when he came to himself, he was opposing himself. He's out of his mind. Demonic spirits had got a hold of him. Devilish spirits. He's out there sowing his wild oats in the world, blaspheming God, living like hell out there and carrying on, wasted his substance and riotous living. When he got right and came to himself, he said, I know what I'll go to my father's house and just be one of his hired servants. He said, I go back and demand my room back and demand my rights and make sure I get my allowance and get... No, ain't none of that going on. Right. Oh boy, just glad he can come home. If I got to sleep in the morning, I'm just glad to be home. Yeah. Tired of sleeping in the hard pen. Tired of being miserable. I just want some forgiveness and some relief. Yeah. And people come back and act like they've got a list of things for you. Yeah, a list of what? You might want to check up your life and check that attitude at the door. Amen. And be glad the door's still open. Ain't no genuine repentance in that. You can tell the heart ain't right in it. They're just trying to get by so they can get out and do it again. Amen. Amen. You need to get right. If you've done it in private, get right. You know what? These principles were laid out in the Word of God to help you. To give you some accountability. People don't like accountability. That's why it's good if you get saved. Let people know you're saved. Don't be ashamed to spread the news. Man, God saved my soul. I got some victory over this. God help me with this. Don't be ashamed of it. Let it know. Amen. If you've done things against the Lord, get it right with the Lord. God knows it. Once you get it right with the Lord, if you've done something against your brother, go get it right with him. And if you've done it in the public, don't be ashamed to stand up and say, you know what? I was wrong. I failed God. I messed up, but I'm glad. And I pleaded the blood of Jesus and God forgave me. And I want you to forgive me. And I want to give my life back where it needs to be with God. Yeah. Some accountability.
Amen.
And it help you. And those demons that's in your mind, it's jumping on your back every time you turn around thinking, how were they looking at me wrong? People get like that and they get on that brink of getting right, halfway right, and the devil's, you know, everybody's looking at me. You know what's looking at you? Your own guilty conscience.
Amen.
If you just come clean and let it be known, it'll help your life out a whole lot. Talking about help for you, recovering yourself out of the snare of the devil who've been taken captive by him at his will. There's victory. Let me give you a couple of verses tonight, and we won't take long, but I want to give you some verses of victory for your mind.
Amen.
When you get into sin, you mess up, man, you start thinking crazy. You start thinking crazy about the people of God.
Amen.
Start thinking crazy about God sometimes. I mean, I've seen people raised in church and, man, getting a mess and getting playing with devilish spiritual things and open up the gates to things that they should not be messing around with. And, man, they start losing belief in everything. I mean, I've heard them tell me, man, raised in church all their life. Whether they saved, lost, that's God's business. God knows that stuff. But I'm telling you what the devil will do to your mind. They start wondering whether the Bible's right, whether there is a God. I mean, stuff the way extreme out there that you think, man, that's basic Christianity stuff that surely they've known all their lives. How'd they begin to think so foolish? It'll happen. Then old devil, he don't play fair. That's what the Bible, you know what the Bible said he does in 2 Corinthians 4:4? Blinded the minds of them that believe not. He kept you blind for how many years till you got saved? And he's a master worker of the mind.
Amen.
The old saying is, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Ain't no Bible verse, but there's a lot of truth in it, amen. You get that idle mind, that mind out there, and you get the, I'm telling you, you start playing with these things in this whole world, you open up those gates and those devils, amen. You're something bigger out there than you. And you think, well, I can handle mine. And I, no, you can't. You cannot handle the devil. You don't match him. Michael the archangel said, hey, the Lord rebuke thee. The archangel said, the Lord rebuke thee. Who are you? Who am I? We ain't no match for the devil. You're a fool to try to bring the devil up and say, me and you going to fight it out. You're going to lose.
Amen.
Amen. You're no match for him, but he ain't no match for my God.
Yeah.
You turn him over to the Lord. Like somebody said, amen, the devil come knocking at your door, send Jesus to open the door. Amen. The Lord rebuke thee. Amen. Now, victory verses on your mind. Look in Proverbs 16. What we need, number one, I call this a committal. We need a commitment. Proverbs chapter 16. When it comes to your mind, you need to commit some things. If you're going to have victory in your mind, you need to learn to commit your ways unto the Lord. Amen. If you're going to get victory of your mind, those devils that's playing with you and cause you to think foolishness, you better get some commitment to God. I'm talking about after you've repented and got right with God and gave that thing to the Lord, these are some principles that will help your life to continue to think the way you should. Or maybe your mind's not exactly where it needs to be. How can I get it to where it needs to be, where I'm thinking straight and clear again and serving the Lord like I ought to? Number one, you need to start committing your ways to the Lord. Look in Proverbs chapter number 16, look in verse number 3. You can read, look at verse 1. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And your own eyes will deceive you. But the Lord knows. Now look at this, verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be what? Established. You know how to establish your thoughts in the right direction? You begin to commit your ways to God. The things that I can do, that I'm going to do this because this is what the Lord says do. And I'm going to do this because this is what the Lord says do. And I'm not going to do this because this is what the Lord said not to do. And when you begin to commit your ways to the Lord, these are steps that you can use to overcome the devils of your mind and begin to think straight again. You better start doing what God says and stop doing what He says not to do. And you're not going to overcome those devils and that foolish thinking and that devilish attack in your mind until you begin to commit ways to God. I'm telling you, it might take a while. It'll get you out of it, amen. Get you back where you need to be and get you thinking straight again. But it will not come back unless you start committing your ways to God like you ought to. Well, I just haphazardly serve the Lord and try to get... You ain't going to get out of it. I'm telling you Bible ways how to get your mind back right and serve the Lord like you ought to.
Yeah, amen.
But commit my ways to the Lord. Show up in church like every day when the door's open like I should. Amen. Get away from that worldly crowd. Get around my good godly Christians again. Hey, praying every day. Reading my Bible every day. Hey, commit my ways to the Lord. Acting the way God would have me to act. Doing what He'd have me to do. And God will start fixing your mind. There's a commitment to the ways. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, number 2. Now you must commit your ways to the Lord. If you're going to have victory over your mind, you're going to have to cast down some imaginations that's not right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Your thoughts. Get your mind back right. I'm telling you, man, you get out there, man, your mind go crazy. There's one thing I hate to lose. I hate to lose my mind. I don't know about you, sometimes I feel like I'm thinking crazy. I tell you, man, your mind is thinking. I'm telling you, get thee behind me, Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, that's what Paul said. Verse number 1, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, there's that meekness again, who am present and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present. That is not his desires. We said this morning. Bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we walk according to the flesh. What would you think he's walking according to the flesh? Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Look what he says. Casting down, what's that next word? Imaginations. It's amazing what you would imagine. What you would suppose it to be. Brother Fallor called me about a month ago or so. He said he had Brother Danny Farley down there preaching, and he preached out of that text over there where the Bible said they supposed him to be the son of Joseph. Was Jesus the son of Joseph? No. But the Bible says they supposed he to be.
Yeah.
And because they supposed him to be in their minds, they started living in that manner and treating him in that fashion. It's amazing. Well, that's what I thought. What if you think is not right?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose. Well, that's what I thought you meant. Better watch it, supposing.
Yeah, amen.
Those imaginations you work up in your own mind. Like they looking at me. They might be looking at you. It's your conscience.
Yeah, amen.
Your guilty conscience. I've been saying, I can't go back to church, everybody looking at me when I come in. He's glad to see you.
Yeah, amen.
It's your own conscience that is bothering you.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what he says to do? Casting down. That's with the ing, so that's a continual process, ain't it? They might keep coming up. I'm talking about getting your mind right.
Yeah,
Committing your ways to the Lord, number one, but casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You got to cast down some stuff. You got to get that kind of way of thinking out of your mind. You got to replace that thinking with some good Bible thinking.
Amen.
You got to cast it out. Make things get you thinking that way against your parents, and thinking your way against godly people that's trying to help you, and thinking they're judging you and condemning you. And the whole time you one ain't living right, and they're just telling you about your sin and getting right with the Lord, and you taking it like it's some condemnation, and if you wasn't living like hell, you wouldn't even be thinking like that.
Amen.
It's amazing how you can turn your love against people to hatred when you start living wrong.
Yeah.
When they don't treat me the way they used to treat me. You ever thought that maybe you thinking it that way because of the way you living? So there's got to be a commitment. I'm talking about cleansing victory in your mind. There's got to be a casting down of those imaginations. You got to get that mess out of there, man. Thirdly, you got to have a cleansing. Cleansing. John 17:17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." By the washing of the water of the word. There needs to be a cleansing of your mind. Not only must be a commitment to the ways of God and a casting down of those filthy imaginations, but there needs to be a cleansing. You need to get in this book and let it cleanse your mind. Your filthy mind that you filtered it with a bunch of garbage that you put before your eyes and listened in your ears and messed around in the gates of your body and allowed that junk in you, you need to be cleansed. There's got to be, Jesus said in John 15:3, "You are clean through the words that I've spoken unto you." The Word of God will cleanse your life. The old times have said it right. A sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. One of the two is going to happen. And you need a good cleansing. You need a good brainwashing. If we look at brainwashing as something, your people brainwashing you to believe some kind of cult type atmosphere. Now, I'm talking about a good brainwashing with the clear, pure words of God clean your filthy mind out.
Amen.
You know, clean your filthy mouth out and clean your filthy heart out, because out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, the mouth speaking.
Amen.
You need a cleansing. Amen. And you begin to get victory in your mind. How do you do it? Commit your ways to the Lord. Cast down the imaginations. Cleanse yourself with the Word of God. And lastly, look in this in Hebrews 9. Then I'll read you an example of this. Hebrews 9. Look in Hebrews 9. There needs to be a commitment to the ways of the Lord. There needs to be a casting down of the imagination. There needs to be a cleansing of your mind by the Word of God. And there needs to be a calling upon the Lord by pleading the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The songwriter said, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You know what to cleanse your mind? The confession of sin by pleading the blood of Jesus. It is a cleansing agent. What did he say? Is it Isaiah 1:18? "Come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. They be red like crimson, they should be as wool." How can the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ wash you white and clean? Red blood wash you white and clean. It's the cleansing power agent of the Word of God.
Yeah,
and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll cleanse that black filth of sin out of your mind.
Amen.
Hebrews 9. Look in verse 11. "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled on the unclean, sanctified through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God," look, "purge your" what? "Conscience from dead works to serve the living God." You know what to cleanse that conscience? You know what to purge it, burn it out, clean it out? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You go before the Lord and say, God, I have sinned before Thee. And begin to confess your sins to God. This is exactly what He said in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, falling on your face before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, I'm pleading the blood of your Son to cleanse me from my filth and to cleanse my filthy mind. There's got to be a confession, a calling upon the Lord. Look at this example in Psalms. Psalms 51. This is one of the Psalms of repentance of David. A man after God's own heart that has fell before God. I mean grossly. Murder, adultery, lying. David messed his life up. But you know what? God cleaned it up. You know what? I don't care how bad you've messed it up. God can clean it up.
Amen.
Thank God He can clean it up. If He can take David, a man that committed murder and adultery and lying and the things that he committed against God, when Nathan came to him and said, Thou art the man, you are guilty. If God can forgive him and cleanse him of it, He can do the same for you and me. And here's David pouring it out in Psalms 51. Read it with me. Psalms 51 verse 1. I think the other confession is Psalm. Is it Psalms 32? I think it is. Is it? Somebody know for sure? You want to go home and read it? Yeah. Psalms 32 is David's confession. But look in Psalms 51. Here's what he says. Here's his confession. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions. He hides it, man. And my sin is ever before me. You ever done wrong before the Lord? That thing's just constantly coming up. That's the way he felt about his sin. It's right there all the time. You just can't get away from it. Against Thee, Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mayest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, that's that blood, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Apparently he had lost it. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips. My mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings, the sacrifice of God, or a broken spirit. You can't pay God off, put money in the plate, and try to make it right. I said, the sacrifice of God, or a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure, unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. David wanted cleansing. And God still offers it today. You know what you need to get your mind right? You need some commitment to the ways of the Lord. You need some casting down of those evil imaginations. You need a cleansing of the Word of God to wash your brain and mind and heart out. And you need to call and plead the blood of Jesus. Our text said, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at it with me. One more time today. We have a responsibility as God's children when we see people err to instruct them in meekness that they may be recovered out of their sin. It is your responsibility and my responsibility when I sin to acknowledge the truth and accept the truth of my transgression and come clean before God. And God will always hold up His part while extending mercy to anyone that calls upon Him. 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by Him at His will. May God use us to instruct others that oppose themselves, that God might bring them out of the snare as they acknowledge the truth of God's Word and repent. Amen. You know people like that? Pray. Fast. Whatever it takes. Get some insight of the Lord. Do your best to reach out that God might give them that repentance they need. Amen. All right. Let's all stand. Let's sing something tonight. Amen.